couple questions. It kind of leads me to this. So a client of mine, her husband passed away about a year ago now, had a great relationship with them. And she even, before her husband passed away, she introduced me to her sister who became a client, her sister and brother-in-law became a client. And it's interesting that this kind of falls in the family. They had some issues growing up, poverty and other things. So I think sometimes people have a poverty mentality, but Deanne and her husband did pretty well, but they always sort of had a seem to have a spending problem. And I think now more she was the spending problem and he was always trying to slow the spending down. But even after he passed away, we walked her through the estate plan and everything, and we've just been so helpful. And she even said when earlier in the year, like, hey, or then last year, someone asked her about, you know, are you worried about what's going on in the market? And she's like, no, I have a guy that takes care of all that. So then her son, who's I have a relationship with somewhat, and as a young guy, the youngest son that they had together, only her only son, but he had some children before them, who had been, he's doing better now, but he's been in and out of rehab 4 or 5 times over the years. And from the time he's about 15, but doing way better now and hadn't any relapses and had a couple of careers. Well, I guess he joined some firm that's like one of these firms where they're not actually a RIA firm, but they help recruit like people that are brokerage firms to their list or network of RIA firms.
Yep.
So at some point,
a finder.
At some point, she kept getting people say, well, aren't you concerned? And so she called me at one point and said, hey, I haven't been concerned, but I got my statements down pretty significantly. And now I'm in kind of concerned because you've always kept us in the black. And I said, well, yeah, but things go up and down. We've never always been positive. And they have a few rent houses and anyway, and she likes real estate. And, so then one of our scheduled 1242 calls, she says, hey, do you mind kind of, I felt kind of ambushed. Hey, do you mind if I include my son on this call? Of course, I didn't know anything about what he was doing. And so I said, sure. She goes, okay, let me get on the phone. Well, he just kind of starts right in on me. Well, I have some questions about my mom's fees and whether this financial plan, and da, 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 da. Somebody charged him 75 basis points. So I know we're waiting on the thing, but I just kind of felt ambushed. Like she didn't say, I have some questions about the fees or whatever. So he kind of started in, well, I felt like I answered it really well and I didn't insult him or I just said like, hey, we're not Walmart, but we're not Neiman Marcus and we have a great service. And well, you know, the average fee is this. And I said, yeah, but even on your own website, cause I looked, what's the name you come here with? I looked it up. Like it says that the average is between 50 basis points to 1.5. And as you know, a lot of those are mutual fund wrap accounts, which your mom's is not. And so those mutual fund wrap accounts are about 3 or 3.5 all in. They don't do financial planning. They don't do 1242. And, you know, we offer, and I said, you know, they won't come to your house when your husband's sick and, you know, on hospice and bring you meals like we did for your mom. And, you know, that's not what, but I said, you know, there's always somebody cheaper in the industry. We're not the cheapest. You can be the best, the fastest or cheapest, but you can't be all three. Well, anyway, I think he just kind of planted a negative seed, you know, and it got a little better on the next call. And then a few more calls, he was off the calls because now he's taking a job at some other firm because he got more and it's not even in the same industry, which is fine. So now he's not on the calls anymore, but I think it just kind of planted a little seed where, you know, she started kind of looking or I don't know if other advisors, but just kind of seeking other advice like realtors and other things. And so she's really just kind of beat me up and I had designed her portfolio really well, like 70-30 because she was taking pre-year draws. Well, so she's really beat me up like, hey, we're down like, you know, 8% or something like that. And I'm like, yeah, but the market's down like 30 and 20 and bonds are down like 30. You should be like singing my praises. Well, I'm
no
really
kidding. Excited.
So I said, look, here's the problem. Look at the withdrawals year to date. The problem is we were withdrawn about 6% a year. And since your husband passed away, well, I had some one-time expenses. Yeah, but you've taken out 13% of your account value in the last 12 months. If you add that back in, we actually would be up. But that's the problem. The problem is not your account. The problem is not your assets. So that kind of was a little bit of an aha moment. Well, then I get another phone call, but between scheduled call, and she's like, well, last time we talked, we had like 200,000 cash, and I told you I wanted to keep it there. And I felt good about that. And I said, yeah, but this is an active portfolio. You know, we might raise cash and then deploy cash. And so we deployed the cash. Well, I told you to keep that money in cash. And I was like, well, I'm really sorry. This is one of the reasons we send executive summaries to make sure there's no miscommunication. That is not at all what I heard you say, nor did I get the, you know, so long story short, she's like, well, yeah, I'm thinking about buying some real estate and da, 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 da. And I was like, well, you can do that with us. You don't have to buy, you know, we have direct investments and we talked about a few things. Anyway, long story short, after all this and me kind of showing this and that, like I get a phone call. My staff gets a phone call last week that she wants to take out $100,000 out of her account once by the end of the week. So, well, I didn't get the by the end of the week part. So, you know, my staff's like, well, we got to talk to Preston because we don't have much cash in the account. So I call her and she's like, yeah, well, I want to take $100,000. I was like, and plus we talked about, you know, she might want to do some remodeling and so on. I said, that's great. When you get some prices, call me. We'll review the bids together. We'll find out how much money you need and we'll talk about options, cash, finance, home improvement loan, you know, securities backed line of credit, what the best. And then you can decide. Well, anyway, she's like, well, I told you I was planning on doing some remodeling and I bought an RV and da da da. And I'm like, well, how much? And I need $100,000. And I said, well, first of all, you can't give those orders to my staff because we have to raise cash to do that. And second of all, and she said, well, I'd say by the end of the week. And I said, well, I don't have that in my notes. So please forgive me. Maybe somebody missed that. And then she said, I'm going to take out enough. Plus after our last meeting, I told her she, because of all the withdrawals she'd taken last year, she needed to reduce her monthly withdrawal from like $6,000 a month down to $4,000 a month in order to be back in line. And she sent a follow-up email saying, no, leave it where it is. So anyway, she says take the $100,000. She says she wants to take another $100,000 out sometime by the end of the year or next year. And I said, it's all your money. You can do whatever you want to with it. But I said, look, if you take more, I already told you you need to reduce your withdrawal rate. If you take more money out, you're going to have to reduce your withdrawal rate equal to this $100,000. Then you take another $100,000 out, you're going to have to reduce the withdrawal there. I said, you own rental properties. You can't say I have three rental properties that produce cash flow, sell one and buy raw land and still expect the same income. It doesn't work that way. And I said, you know, if you're at the pace you're on, you're going to run out of money in about 5 years if you keep this withdrawal rate up. You're at, you know, it's going to be 20% this year and you're on schedule at 20%. That's not sustainable. So anyway, it's a little frustrating and it's also a little frustrating because there's another relationship too. You know, it's kind of like, you know, sometimes it doesn't always work that way. I have some other clients where the siblings fired me actually. And then the sibling that referred them to me, they kept the relationship. So, but it's a risk. So I'd be curious. I mean, I just feel like, cause I said, look, real estate is already correcting and it's just lagging, but it's correcting. It's not a big bet. Oh, well, I've talked to realtors. So it's like, I've talked to all these other people. I've talked to bankers, realtors. And so it's kind of like, and sometimes after a spouse dies, kind of got to flex my own muscles and they got to, but before it was total trust relationship, totally trust you, everything. Now it's, cause I said, well, you're supposed to call.
Okay. You got me. Yeah. I got the picture.
Yeah. All right. Sorry.
The picture is that you got a problem with the client.
Right.
And the question is, do you, is it somebody you want to keep?
Yeah.
Is it or not?
I would like to. I mean, we've had a good relationship for a long time, probably 10 plus years. So no,
this isn't the same client that you had the relationship with. Do you want to keep this client?
I guess if the behavior change, I don't know is the short answer to that question. If the same behavior, which is you just call you up and tell you what I want to do.
Okay. So
there's no,
the new client is not somebody you want to be, have a relationship with.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Then you should fire her.
And
because she's going to blow herself up.
Yeah. And whatever the consequences are to the sister relationship, those are just the consequences.
She's gone off the rails.
Yeah.
It's like the druggy son was off the rails. Mom's now off the rails. Okay.
Yeah.
And I would have a lunch with her.
Okay.
And I would have a come to Jesus meeting. And I would put her on probation. And if she violates the probation, I'd fire her. You gotta, it's just like my dog last night got a little crazy on me. I had to stop and reestablish the relationship.
Okay. So I think that's a good idea. And I mean, on our last conversation, I kind of said, you know, Dan, at some point, you know, how I want the relationship to be is you're thinking about doing a project, it's much easier on the front end. We talk about it.
Yeah, she's off the rails. Okay.
And I was like, at some point, you're not going to need me.
She doesn't trust you now.
Yeah.
She's not taking your advice. She's taking anyone else's advice.
And all right, so how would you? So you've
lost control of the client.
Okay? Yes, that's a good point. Mm-hmm.
So you've got to reestablish control or fire her at lunch. If you reestablish control, it's control based on probation.
Right. So how would you frame that? So we go to lunch.
And you show her, do a Monte Carlo simulation and show her how much money she has and when she's going to run out of money. And say, you're in trouble. Because of these withdrawals, not because of the market. We expect markets to go up and down. But we could have a severe decline in real estate. And real estate's not liquid. So you can't get that money out when you wanted to. So it goes from 100,000 to 50,000. And now you're going to come crying to me that you need money. Okay.
So what would the probation, how would you define the probation and what would that look like?
It would be that you make no decisions regarding this money without first talking to me, and that you reduce your spending to this amount. And if you don't, you're fired. There's no one-time charges. There's no one time, because one time becomes right oftentimes, right? I only had the one time thing. No, that's a regular time thing, because you always have a reason to spend that one time thing. You can't spend that one time thing. You can't buy that RV. You cannot do that. If you expect this money to last, this is your budget. You don't violate it. If you violate it, you're fired. I will not be a witness to your destruction. Plus, she'll turn around and sue you. She will. Clearly, the relationship has changed. So how far would it have to go before she'd turn around and sue you? Not very far.
Yeah.
She's done things behind your back. Now she'll do it again. And are there litigious lawyers out there looking for, wait till this market's over.
Oh yeah, they'll be
lawyers will be everywhere.
That's good advice. And that's why I ask you, because I always appreciate your opinion, how you frame things. It takes a lot of emotion out of it.
Right. It's not emotional. It's nothing to do with you. This has nothing to do with you.
Yeah. On the other 100,000 she wants to take out, would you let her take that out or not?
Well, you show her what that's going to do. Can she live in that budget? This is her choice. All you're doing is give her, she's on probation based on that new budget. If she takes out the 100, here's the budget. If you take out, if you leave the 100 in, here's the budget. You decide.
I did, by the way, take your advice on the other clients that I have fired, and I did give them the 25, and I checked with my compliance support, or my compliance team, as I say, RA in the box, checked with them about, you know, the right way to do it, and I just wrote up, and she said, it's done all the time, Goodwill. She said, just write your check, Goodwill. And so I just sat down and, you know, told them, hey, you know, thank you. I had a chance to kind of reflect on our last conversation, and you know, here's your financial plan that we delivered to you in June. We charged your fee in May, in April or whatever. And it's been about 6 months. It clearly says in my financial plan agreement that that's what the fee is for, not for meetings and phone calls, that kind of stuff. And we met our obligation and delivered that, and even made some updates since then and changes. And here's our business model. We only work with 70 families, and our families want to delegate me to be their CFO, And then for me to lead a team of best in class experts in money management, taxes, insurance. So you've decided you want to be your own CFO, and you want to do your own money management. That doesn't fit in our model. And I said, I don't have any clients that are do-it-yourselfers, and I'm not looking to add any clients that are do-it-yourselfers. That's not my desire. It's not who we work with. And so, you know, thank you very much for relation. I wish you the best. I don't think you should. I said, you just bought a house, like in that, you know, you just bought a house and you paid a realtor 6%. So you obviously believe in professionals. And I said, you know, we don't think that people should do anything, you know, for the most part, you know, you're a dentist. We don't, you probably don't think it's a good idea for people to do dentistry by themselves. Like, oh, no, no. So as a act of goodwill, here's a check for $2,500, which will be half of the planning fee that I charge you. And, you know, I wish you and your family the very best. And if we can ever be of service to you or have any questions, you know, give us a call. We'll return your call. So it went well. They cashed the check.
Of course they did. So, but they're not going to be able to say anything about you.
That's right. Anything but nice things now.
That's right. It's marketing. It's the cost of doing business.
Some other clients of, one other client question. Some other clients of mine. So the wife died last year. I had a good relationship and have a relationship with both their kids. They only have two kids. Dad was still alive. Dad died last week. Been working mostly with the kids because dad's health's been declining in the last few months. Have a good relationship with both of them. But now, if we divide that money in half, they're kind of right at the cusp of it. If I charge them the same fee as mom and dad were paying, it wouldn't work out so well for me. But I could, I guess, charge them each a financial planning fee. And it's hard to, I think, up the percentage fee in my experience. Like, well, mom and dad are paying you, you know, 1.25. How can we charge us 1.95 or whatever the case would be? Don't you agree that it's kind of hard?
I agree. Yeah.
So anyway, I'd just be curious your thoughts on that.
I'm too generous.
Yeah.
With my time and my money and my, so I'm not the right guy to ask about that. I'm too nice. I would just charge them what I charge the parents, and that would be it.
All right. And then, but maybe if it doesn't meet our minimum, just maybe do like a 4-1 instead of 12-4-2.
No. I keep the service up.
Do I? Okay.
Yeah. You know what I'd do? I'd hammer them for a referral.
Okay. Okay. All right. So that's good advice. So I thought.
That's what I tell them. I tell them, I'm not going to raise your fee, even though it's twice as much work. Okay. But this is what you can do in return. An introduction to somebody that becomes a really good client. And what better way of paying you, right?
Yes. Okay. So I talked to Brad Blessing in person, and he said that he's hired you and they're moving forward. Is he telling me the truth?
Well, I haven't met with him yet, but so that's between he and Cindy.
All right. Well,
but you can tell I'm not exactly, I mean, I couldn't even return your phone call that day when you called. I mean, I had 8 appointments, which is really stupid for a 76-year-old. Okay. But anyway, it is what it is. So yeah, I'm happy to help him, but I'm not holding my breath.
Yeah. Well, though, it's only the reason I ask you is one, because it's going to kind of determine whether I invite him to be part of my mastermind group. And
I mean, based on what I've seen so far, he'd be probably number 2, not number 1.
Okay. All right. No problem. All right. Anyway, we had a pretty extensive conversation about, you know, getting the list down and the number down and the minimums and all that kind of stuff. So,
I will keep you posted when I give you the green light, then you put him, you make him your number 1, but otherwise he'd be on in the bullpen or you know, somewhere. Okay.
All right. That's good feedback. All right. So, 2 things. I understand why you entered my email the way you did. Next time I'll just call you. I guess I realized you're not licensed anymore and you don't give financial advice, that kind of stuff. I was just trying to understand better understand the hedge thing that you had personally and for your friend, how that worked. Cause it, when I did a little checking out, it just seemed like it'd be another position, not this. So I was just kind of curious of the actual how it worked. That was really one of my questions.
Okay. Do you want, I mean, I can't remember exactly what your question was, but go ahead.
Well, like I have a client that is overweight in Apple stock, right?
Yeah.
And so I understand about how a collar works. And we talked about the disadvantage of a collar is this and the marks and this. Okay. And then you said another strategy is I've got it written down somewhere.
Exchange traded fund. Right. Yeah.
There's Eaton, some trust you can buy.
Eaton Vance Tax Managed Trust. Right.
Right. And so it just doesn't seem clear to me when I, looked at that. So you don't have to sell the stock and you just add the position. That's the part I'm confused
you,
about.
You deposit it into it, into, like a mutual fund.
Okay.
And instead of having the volatility of one stock, you have the volatility of the market typically.
I gotcha.
All right. So all right. You take, you know, instead of being down 40% with, you know, and today's market is just a create, you know, it's just not a a market that you want to have a concentrated position in.
For sure. Yeah.
Some are down 60, 70, 80% instead of, I mean, that I keep an eye on that big, that company that you're, you know, that gal came to you and she worked for a technology company and she said, I'm worried that this is, you know, and my advice typically is, look, you got an opportunity to work for a technology company. You want to hold on to your stock and over time it'll grow and all that. But I mean, these people have, no, you know, their stocks are down 60% or something.
Yeah. Look at Peloton or look at Netflix or anything like that, right? Somewhere right. Down 78. I mean,
Peloton 125 down to 8.5.
Yeah.
So
or, PayPal.
Yeah. I mean, these are all
on the wrong side of the hedge fund managers.
Right. So the point is that it doesn't protect you. It right. just, it mitigates the decline. And for me, going into 2007, I deposited most of my Merrill into two different exchange funds and my buddy still has one. I mean, he did the same thing. I eventually got rid of it as a tax loss. And, but he still has it and takes income from it and it's part of his retirement plan.
Okay. So I'll just call Eaton Vance and ask them to.
Yeah.
Okay. That makes more sense now. I was a little, okay. And then the other thing is through, it's pretty cool through Orion, we have access to some other I don't know if I've mentioned this to you or not before, but like at TD, their securities-backed line of credits really stink. They're not very competitive on the rates or too, no. Well, anyway, through Orion, actually they have this thing I had to pay for, but it's worth it. So I've accessed all these other lenders and things. So now I have this thing that's securities-backed line of credit and they're very generous. They were between they're between 60 and, you know, 80% of the portfolio value with, you know, pretty low thresholds. And, so I've been talking to clients about that and have utilized it. I know when we first started talking, you were telling me about those. I was like, how do you get those? So that's good. So through that same, different lender, but same program, they have this other bank that they have a program where it's basically a high yield FDIC insured bank account. It's FDIC insured. It's a savings account. It's not in securities or anything. It's a savings account. And then it's up to 25 million per social security number. So basically they have like 900 banks in their network. And then when you make a deposit, they divide the money by 900. And so they're putting a little deposit in each of these banks. And that's how so it could be a real opportunity. The rate's going to 2.25% interest on the 1st of October, which is spectacular. So we've already started, I opened one for me personally to see how it works. And then I've already talked to some clients about it where I think it's an opportunity is for business owners because most business checking accounts pay a big fat 0%. And so, you know, if they keep 100 grand or 200 grand or half a million in that deal, hey, let's keep 400 in the savings account and you can ACH the money back and forth same day, anytime, you know, immediate access. The client can do it or we can do it for them. So that's what I was trying to get your input on. One, how to use that as an asset gathering tool, right? Especially now when interest rates are low and hey, you're getting zero on your cash. How'd you like to get 2.25? And then also how I should, I got to be a little bit careful. One, how I should charge. And two, I've got to be a little bit careful. They say, well, you got 80% of our portfolio sitting in cash at TD paying 0.25%. Why don't you just move all that over there? Well, this is very good. So I got to be a little bit careful, but I think it could be a great asset gathering tool. And as things calm down and as interest rates get lower, and then also I can talk to them about a 5-year ladder with other things, I think I can use it to my advantage. So that's what I was kind of wanting your thoughts about. If you were in my position, how you would use that to market.
The only thing I would check on is the company. There's a company in between, right?
Yes.
It's a bank, or is it?
It's called StoneCastle.
What is it?
You can go to their website, StoneCastle. Account.
I mean, you can, anybody can buy CDs and divide them up and all that. Your only risk now is that StoneCastle. Okay. And that's why I'm saying, who is this guy?
I've got 19 billion with the B, 19 billion. Obviously how they're making money is they get a little piece of the action. Every time they deposit, they get a penny. It's like a river flowing through there.
Right. I just want to know who I'm giving my money to.
Yeah. I mean, I feel good about them.
It's an obligation of the company, though. It's not an obligation of FDIC. FDIC insures the money, but if that company went out of business, how would you get your money?
Assets quoted, including bulk insured deposit, a program where it acts as consultant and introduces banks to third-party administrations. Assets and bids are not included in the calculation. Farmers and Merchants Bank is current client. Well, that's a good question. I could probably use your wisdom and counsel on asking the right questions like that. So it's my understanding that they're just basically introducing us to the
bank. Yeah, I know. They're a consolidator. You go to get their money and they're gone? How are you going to get that FDIC insurance on that money?
Okay. All right. So what are the questions that you would ask, or what should I look for?
I want to know who the company is. I want to, you know, who owns it? What's the balance sheet look like? What's my risk? I'm buying into this company. I'm not buying into FDIC insured CDs. It's like if you did this, you know, you have insurance, right?
Right.
So do they have insurance? What's going to happen? They go bankrupt. What's going to happen?
Okay. These are good questions to ask.
Yeah. Whenever you get a situation like this, people are always reaching for yield. And I'm always going, wait a minute, time out. What is this private loans? You know, what is this private loan thing? And then what is this private bank loans? And what is this? And they're just banks lending money and da, da, da. No, tell me. I got to know how this works exactly.
Okay. Well, I mean, the interest rates, it's not like they're paying 5 or 10%. For example, Ally Bank is paying 2. I've got an Ally Bank account. They're paying 2.25%, but it's on your personal account. You can't open a business account then. And so, I mean, the rate they're paying is 1.75 today, which is a little under. And if you look at the major, like Fidelity's paying their customers 1.5 on their money market account, No, you're asking the right question. I'm just saying, like, I'm not suspicious. I think these are good questions and I need to ask them what I'm saying.
But it's at least 25 basis points more than other people are getting.
Well, starting October 1st is probably in line, but 1.75 was paying today. It's going to 2.25 in October because they raised rates. Okay. So, I mean, so the question to ask is, hey, if they go bankrupt, what happens?
Right. And what's their vigorish? How much are they taking?
Yeah. Okay. So start in 2009, but you're asking some good questions. I need to ask more questions.
Well, if you brought that product to me, I would ask these questions.
Yes, I know. That's why I ask you about it. Look, you know, as you've noticed, the more tenure you have in this business, the more gray hairs and the more your hairline goes backwards, you know.
Right.
And so that's why it's a much less painful to learn from others' experience. That's why I value, I mean, it's not the only reason, but I value
right.
it.
Right.
If I didn't, I wouldn't ask it.
No, I know. And half of our CEOs had money with long-term capital. No, that was something you had to be a special person to get into, like Bernie Madoff's hedge fund. You had to be a special person to get in there.
Yeah.
So am I skeptical after 50 years in the business? Yes.
Yeah. Those are good questions asked. I mean, I don't feel like this is a Bernie Madoff thing, but I think.
No, of course it's not. Of course it's not. And it's somebody that is very clever, having figured out what we did at Merrill Lynch, which was offer, you know, a package that would be multiple CDs, but
right.
they've just done it in the private sector, you know. So when you bought Merrill Lynch, you know what they were buying, but you're buying these guys. I don't know who they are.
Okay. So what other questions did you ask if you were me?
About this?
Yeah.
It's the brand, right? You're buying the brand. And the question is, what is the brand? Who are they? And, you know.
Okay. So if you were me, what are the opportunities now that you would look for in gathering new relationships?
New relationships? Well, you know, I spent some time with the gratitude model. You're a gratitude guy. You understand gratitude. It's a virtue, and it's a virtue that others admire, right? If our kids aren't grateful, we're sad. If they're grateful, we're happy. It's just one of those things that, you know, isn't given enough credibility. So the grateful model is basically the enthusiastically endorsed model, bringing those people together that are grateful people that value each other and create a network of people that we admire and are the best of the best. And you create kind of a large mastermind group of enthusiastically endorsed people. And then the second piece is the people that have introduced you, thanking them in the month that they introduced a client that became a client. And remember,
yeah, we're doing that now. It's, I mean, in fact, I did it the other day and I said, hey, 2 years ago today or this month, you became clients and I wanted to say thank you. And they were like, oh, really? It's been, yeah. Oh, wow.
See, and so you get a psychic income from their reaction, right? You
yeah.
may not get an introduction right then, but it makes them think, this is a grateful human being. He remembers to say thank you.
I said, Mrs. Smith introduced you to me. And if
right.
it hadn't been for Mrs. Smith introducing us, you and I would have never met and we wouldn't have this great relationship. And I, oh yeah, you're right. They did introduce us. So
they forget. Now, did you call Mrs. Smith?
Yes.
And how did she react to it?
Very good. Actually, I called someone else who's not even a client. I called him. He had introduced one of our best clients and said, hey, 5 years ago today, you introduced us to BJ Gilmore and she became a client. And I just wanted to tell you how much I appreciate that introduction. And we've really helped her and her husband. And he's like, yeah, he kind of joking. He jokingly kind of said, well, I guess my check's in the mail or something like that. You know? And I said, yeah, or something like that. But he said, oh, it was my pleasure. I would happily do that again. And, you know, I'm so glad you're taking great care of me. So, but I mean, it's been positive feedback. Like, okay.
Right.
And then I followed up with, you know, if there's someone else in your life, right, that you feel like we could be a value and help to, I'm always happy to see if we can be of help to others that you care about.
Right.
So, I mean,
you really are making three people happy.
Yes.
right? When you introduce somebody.
Mm-hmm. Three. Me, them, and the other person. Yeah. That's true. That's a good point. And I do that in my BNI group. I'll send email introductions, you know, and then the other person's like, wow, that's great. That's wonderful. I did that last week for one of my clients that's also in BNI. I introduced one of their clients and I intentionally open copied their realtor and said, and their realtor may have need for some of your services for some of their other clients. And then she replied back and said, thank you, by the way, work on that. And they've got this other house and such, and she wants me to go take a look at it. So yeah, that's going to be great. Thank you. So it's good.
You're welcome. Yeah. And then you know, you can always follow it up. Let's have lunch and talk about doing more of this.
Okay. Okay. Well, I want to keep you on time for your next meeting.
Thank you. But look, there's no magic here, right?
Yeah.
I tell people, I said, you're a farmer, okay? You got to be patient.
That's right.
As a farmer, you cannot wish the crop to come in.
You always got to be sowing seeds.
You got to be sowing seeds and fertilizing and hoeing and plant and going to church and hoping for rain. Okay. Right. But that doesn't do the rain. The rain won't come because you hope, right? It's just you're playing the probabilities and you have patience. Now, when you're hunting, that's different, but a lot of what we do is farming, and the farming will pay off big time down the road. Hundreds of thousands of acres. The hunting, we kill a deer and it lasts us for the winter. Okay?
Okay.
But the farming lasts us for years to come. Okay? That's the way to think about it. So when you're planting all these seeds, just be patient with it. They all will come in, but it just takes patience. You start the mastermind group, doesn't kick in right away. It takes time. The enthusiastically endorsed list. By the way, I'm thinking about maybe changing the name or to more of a concierge group, right? So mm-hmm. it's enthusiastically endorsed group of concierge professionals. I mean, I like the concierge group because sometimes people don't understand exactly what you want them to do in the group. And what I want you to be is like a concierge physician. Limit the number of clients, give them extraordinary service, charge them a reasonable fee. Okay. So think of you had a group of billionaires as clients. What would they want from vendors? What would they want from professionals? They want to be taken care of. They don't want any problems. They're not as concerned about price. They're mostly concerned about service. They can buy anything they want. Why do they do business with certain people? Because they can count on them. They trust them, right? And that's the group I want to bring together. Concierge travel agent, concierge psychologist, concierge physician, concierge psychiatrist, all those different people. And guess what? When you bring the best of the best together, what a great portfolio it is. But what if all of them were also clients? Right? So that's the ultimate, right?
Would be good.
Yeah, be really good. Okay. See ya.
All right. October's yet to come.
I know.
Hang on. Put your seatbelt on.
Yeah, it's a
more fun ahead.
Permanent white water. Here we go. See ya.
Class 4. All right.